Hey, what's going on, everybody? Will Curran from Endless Events back here again with another episode of Event Icons. I am so stoked for this week's episode. We're going to have some big news to share at the end, so just you hang and watch. But I'm excited because I get to bring one of my teammates onto the show, and anytime I get to bring one of my teammates over at Endless Events onto the show, it's always a good time. So you're going to love this guy. He is so smart when it comes to production and technology. He is one of our amazing technical managers over at Endless Events, and you'll get a little bit. So if you want to be caught up on event technology, you don't subscribe to the Event Tech Podcast, I think you're going to like this one. So let's get that intro rolling and kick this week's episode of Event Icons off. Woo!
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events, the show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share hashtag event icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is hashtag event icons.
All right, and welcome back, everyone, and so happy to see you all here and excited to jump in. I don't want to delay this guest any longer because we got a lot of stuff to cover, and I think we're about to nerd out super hardcore. Also, shout out to John. Thank you so much for joining us as well. We're live. We're always live when it comes to ValiantCons. I love it. But this week's episode, we have a very special guest. You know, let's bring him up on camera because I want him to see him blush as I introduce him. But Isaac Holt is in the house. Isaac is our director of Technomagic over at Endless Events. He's in charge of all the technical production, all the lights, the video, the sound, the staging, all the fun stuff that you see that we do over here at Endless. Isaac is responsible for it all, and we're so happy to have here. And Isaac, I think you've been at Endless now for almost a 2 year anniversary.
Almost a year. Almost 2 years. So super exciting.
Time has flown by, that is for sure.
That it has.
But I'm excited because we finally got you on Event Icons, where we're going to talk some nerdy, fun stuff. And sure, like about a little bit about event strategy, event design. We can talk about a bunch of different stuff, but I promise everyone.
I hear there's no rules. That's the best part.
There is almost no rules here. That is true. That is very true. But I did tease the audience. We do have a special announcement to make at the end. I'll save that special news to share. But in the meantime, Isaac, you've never been on Event Icons, so we need to let everyone know your story and what got you to where you are today. So can you give everyone a little bit of a background? What got you in the events industry and what got you to where you are today?
Absolutely. First off, got to give credit where credit is due. Thank you so much for having me on and inviting me to join. Super excited about it. As several people I'm seeing in the chat happening here, thanks for putting me in front of all these folks. It's going to be exciting. As Will mentioned, I've been with Endless here over a year and a half, headed to the 2 year mark, but have been in this industry for a very long time. You'll hear kind of me say this phrase, which is I have been in this industry since I was pushing road cases for free lunch. I've really been in the production, the audiovisual, the event industry since about 12 years old. I had a neighbor of mine that got to have a really cool game room set up with big speakers and a projector. And I didn't understand why that was fair that his family got that and mine didn't. And come to find out, he owned an event management company and had all the fun tools. And so that just piqued my curiosity that started, you know, how can I get involved? What can I learn? And so from install work to broadcast to just about everything, sunk my teeth in there. And I'm different than most people. I committed to this industry at 12 years old and have been laser focused on really the event industry from that point on. So been very, very fortunate to get to kind of play a role in everything from sales to implementation to design, to pushing faders on show sites. So really, really excited about the journey that I've gotten to take to get me here today.
I love it. I love it. And primarily, I mean, like you've kind of focused on being a little bit of a jack of all trades when it comes to event technology and event production. You're not just an audio guy or a video guy. You've kind of done a little bit of everything, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I had a really great mentor early on that told me, he goes, you can be the best at one thing and find yourself looking for work, or you can be really good at a bunch of different things and go that direction. So thankfully, I was able to find work in one job doing all of those things. So that's the route.
I love it. I think I remember that answer from like your interview too. So that's an absolutely awesome. By the way, for everybody that's tuned in right now, I see you all flooding on in. A couple comments coming on in. Let us know in the chat that you're tuning in on in, but also ask questions. This is an AMA with Isaac. And so we're going to be diving deep into. I see a couple questions coming in. Keep those questions coming. We're going to get to them in just a little bit. But before we kind of do that, I'm going to hit you with, and Isaac, like I told him, I was like, I'm just going to ask you a bunch of questions, but don't worry, Isaac. I think you know the answer to this one, but like, how much has the technical production world changed over the last, year, 2 years or so since COVID kind of broke out? Like, what's really been a big change that you've seen?
Yeah, honestly, I think the biggest thing for me has been the push for creativity. I think that we found ourselves lacking, the ability to want to do more, to want to push the envelope, to try new things, to break boundaries that we hadn't been able to break before with virtual presenters and being able to bring them in real time. And so for me, it's, I think I told you, Will, this maybe when we started early on, is that what I thought I was going to be doing and what I ended up doing when I started here were totally different. But it was really cool because I think we all get a sense sometimes for this idea that I can do an event on a napkin and pull it off and it's going to be great. Whereas we found ourselves having to scratch our heads a little bit, figure out, hey, what do we need to do in this space to get the same wow factor that we were getting when we could have 1500 people in a ballroom that we're all getting together?
Ooh, I like it. So like, how can you create that same amount of energy virtually or in a hybrid experience when, you know, like you might've done it with lasers before? I love that. By the way, fun fact about Isaac is Isaac has a big collection of hats and he's like always made me jealous on his hat game. So you are definitely going to love Isaac's hat game. I'm just going to tease a little bit of that. Well, I'm going to bring up one of our first questions, which is another one of our, fellow Einsteins, a former Einstein at Endless Events. John Pistotti actually asked a question. Let's go and bring up that question he had real quick just so everyone can see that this is live and we are answering questions live real quick as I also give Isaac a chance to bring us up. But he wants to ask you real quick and before – we're going to get really technical really quick. LED or conventional LECOs? What's your answer?
Yeah, so I'm going to even drop one step further on you, John, just because I know that's how you like to roll. I'm actually in the spot where I try to stay away from conventional LECOs. Whoa. Whether that's LED or conventional from a bulb perspective, right? Ooh. I love the idea of having your movers. There are so many great movers out there now that can fill twice the amount of space with half the amount of equipment and footprint. I also find, and I think all of us that have been in the event industry long enough, really hate when the client goes, hey, we decided we're going to move our podium from the left side of the stage to the right side of the stage. And all of a sudden you find yourself up in a boom lift for 4 hours trying to get the lighting readjusted the way that you really wanted it. So honestly, I've moved away from conventional fixtures, even the LED LECOs, for that reason. It's just the flexibility it gives.
And when you mean like conventional, I think John was like regular bulbs versus LED, but you're saying like just fixed lights. You don't like the idea of having fixed lights
absolutely
on there as well. John's saying well played in your answer as well. Definitely a great answer. And I think that's a really good point. Like the ability to have that flexibility. And that's something I think that like Isaac is one of your superpowers is like this ability to like make things happen on site. Like, you know, like Isaac and I don't get to work together side by side as much as we used to anymore. But I hear all the time about Isaac being on site and how he's like constantly trying to make things happen, making the clients happy. How do you balance, you know, especially in a technical world where you might have a limitation for what's actually being done? How do you work with a client to kind of balance technical feasibility, but while also making somebody happy? Because I think that's a big challenge for even event planners today. They're like, my client just asked me to, you know, move the big banquet table and it's already got all the plates and XYZ on. Like, how do I make them happy while also like trying to, live within this constraints of what's possible?
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, right, there's a whole new world. I think that if you'd asked me that a year and a half ago prior to this pandemic, I think my answer would have been totally different. But I think what we're finding ourselves now is that as equal, and a lot of the conversations I'm having now aren't about what's happening in the room. It's about how what's happening in the room affects the 5,000 people that are watching online when it comes to their hybrid event. So I'm finding myself, the conversations in the room are less about actually what is happening in the room and how we can adjust for those folks, but like, hey, what little changes can we make that, you know, we're going to look best for our online audience. And a recent example of that was something as simple as, you know, a backdrop that was super textured, but had nothing lighting it up, which oftentimes can really mess with the camera. And so, you know, those conversations are more of like, hey, this isn't going to change your budget, but it's going to change your experience. And so it's a lot of those type of conversations where it may just be as simple as let's reallocate something from this section to this section so that it makes sense for your environment.
Well, yeah, it's interesting you bring up budget. And I feel like that's the number one concern we hear about like hybrid events is that people are like, oh, it's going to be twice as expensive, twice as much staff and all these things like that. But when it comes to hybrid events, like you have a big part of it in creating these hybrid events that Endless puts on. What do you have to say to those people who say hybrid events are just too expensive, I'm not going to do it, or they're just, you know, like, how do I can't do it, it's too expensive to be able to do it. Basically the too expensive conversation. What's your like thoughts and how would you handle that?
Yeah. So there are a couple things. I probably was in the camp of just telling everybody it's going to be two times more expensive, get over it. You know, that might have been the initial reaction. I think though that when you really break that down, what we're finding with clients that we're taking on currently, again, we like to always have a debrief with our clients after the fact of their event to just really see what went well, what'd you love, what can we do better next time, all of those type of things. And one of the things that came out of today is, hey, we had no idea the reach that our vendors could possibly have. We've always kept vendors out of the virtual space because we couldn't figure out how that would monetize for them. Well, one of the things we were able to do for this particular client is actually pull out in the chat one of the products that kept getting asked for that the client didn't own or that didn't manufacture. And so that became a conversation of, well, we can monetize that for next year. They'll become a sponsor. We push them to that person's website. And now all of a sudden, out of a question that was asked in the chat, we're now able to monetize that. So, I also, you know, one of our other largest clients that we do, you know, a hybrid event for, one of the conversations where we talk about Will and I actually getting into the room together, got to be together in DC. And one of the really cool things that came out of that conversation was about respecting the fact that there are people in person, but their wider audience was online. And I think that's what they're finding now is that, yeah, there's 1,500 people in the room that are going to spend money, that are going to be doing things. But how do you make this make sense for the 5,000 people online? And I think there's a lot of fear. And for anybody that's watching, you know, I think there's this idea too that we have to give it away. It's a subpar product. We don't really need to charge for it because we're not sure we really even find value in it. And I would challenge you that maybe you're right. Maybe it's not the in-person. Maybe you're used to community and everybody shaking hands and that being the way that things typically happen. But I think really being able to find yourself, you know, valuing the product that you're delivering as just as excellent of an experience as what you're getting in person, people will value that. And there are always going to be people that are going to watch it from their home. I'm still going to go watch some things on Netflix that I'm not going to go see in theaters because it's more convenient for me to do that. And so I think that's the biggest thing that we're seeing.
That's so interesting. I think it's like coming from an abundance mindset rather than like a scarcity mindset, right? Like if you always look Absolutely. At it as a cost rather than an investment, you're always going to be on the bad side of things, right? But if Absolutely. You can look at it as this investment, like it could be huge for you.
Absolutely. And we have, I want to be clear to everybody. This is not smoke and mirrors. We have seen ROI for clients from doing virtual events that they never got. And again, this being the biggest example, this event that we did, a month ago now, typically happened in person. It is something that you would think should happen in person. I'm not going to give a whole lot of detail, but it's something that's very hands-on and should be done in person. And what we came to figure out is they told us this year, this has been the highest revenue event we've ever done. And so, you know, that happened in the virtual space with an event I would have told you should have stayed in a ballroom. And, you know, and that's the type of things that we're seeing in real time now. I also got to give a shout out. I apologize, Will. I see some of my friends here in the chat. So, Chris, what is up? And again, John, thanks for hanging. We're going to answer some more of these questions. But just had to give the shout outs there.
You're doing my job for me. I'm supposed to be the hype man for you right now.
I know. When you see your friends, you got to comment on it, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what this show is all about, is I think being able to bring everybody together and like have that live chat going. It's so awesome. Okay. So let me, I'm going to brainstorm some more questions for you as well. So, as you like kind of start to see hybrid events evolve, where do you kind of see, what's something that you think that hybrid events have the capability of becoming? Like, what's something that's really exciting that you're like, oh, I can't wait to do this, but no one's really doing this quite yet? Like, what's a future trend in hybrid events that's got you really excited?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, my thoughts are kind of two ways here. I want to talk about the virtual audience and what that's being catered to there. And then I also want to talk about the in-person audience. I don't know about you guys, but I have gotten really comfortable in my, you know, relaxing chair at home. I've gotten really used to being able to, you know, sit at home in the comfort of my big recliner and watch an event, watch a live stream of some sort. And I think that that experience is going to be one of the things that keeps people out of events going forward. We all know the squeaky, uncomfortable ballroom chair, you know, that you're used to seeing, you know, in a typical space. I think that is totally going to flip on its head. I think that you're going to find that people are going to want to be more comfortable at your event. Maybe that means that you're having a smaller experience because you're going to need the square footage for comfortable furniture, you know, comfortable elements, less, you know, buffet, more hands-on, you know, things of that sort that I think you're going to see. So I think you're going to start to see people wanting a little bit more of that comfortable environment that they were used to when they were at home, being brought into the physical space for their in-person events. And again, things we're seeing in real time. But then I also think there's a lot to say going forward. I know we're all on the back end of the big Facebook metaverse announcement, but I do think that there's something to say. One of the things I even tested is, you know, I would pull up Oculus just to pull up an events platform that we were using. And while I don't know that I'm all the way bought in yet on the whole Oculus thing, I need him to, again, we're talking about comfort. I need him to get that a little bit more comfortable. And then I think I'm going to be all the way in. But I think that that's another big element too. I think we're seeing a lot of requests now for 3D cameras to be added to environments, even if it's just to be able to allow people to be in the room if they want to be in the room. I was watching a very interesting conversation the other day where it was actually a conversation around VR in the metaverse. And they were talking about there will come a day where the seat that and Grant Cardone, I got to give credit where credit's due, I think was the one having this conversation. And he was saying, hey, I paid $117,000 to sit behind the pitcher at the World Series game the catcher at the World Series game. And he goes,
damn, that's some good seats if you got to sit behind the pitcher.
Yeah, it was. Well, and so you'll see that he was talking about, he's like, there's one day that everybody will get my seat. He was like, there'll come a day where your point of view is the pitcher. There, you know, where you're able to fully immerse yourself in those environments. And I think we're a lot closer to that than a lot of people want to give credit for. We're seeing, you know, the AR being built into a lot of the environments. Again, I'm an East Coast boy. So, you know, Carolina Panthers, I don't know if you saw the big AR thing they did where the Panther, you know, jumped all over the stadium, tore down the competitor's flag, just a bunch of that stuff. I think that that's, you know, I think that that kind of stuff is going to remain. And I think the more that, you know, that we're kind of training people in some of those elements, the more we're going to see that come to fruition.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, speaking of things that may or may not remain, we got two questions in the audience that I'll bring up. So obviously like Clubhouse was this gigantic, before that one. Yeah. Clubhouse was this huge, huge, like big trend that happened. It kind of blew up and then now it's kind of fizzling out a little bit. But what do you think there's a rise of audio only events coming? Almost like this live podcasting kind of event that you tend to not having to be on video. What's your kind of take on audio only?
Yeah, so I'm going to stay in the camp of I think people tend to, you know, to get enveloped or engrossed, I guess, in the content they're already watching. So I think if podcast is your thing, then you are more apt to head to an audio only style conference. What does that mean? It might mean that your typical conference doesn't have isn't necessarily an audio only style environment. But like, for example, one of our clients is a podcasting conference that we work with. And one of the things that they're doing is like, our people are used to listening to all of the folks we're inviting audio only anyways, why not give that an option? So I think that you're going to see less of the typical event trying to really keep going with the audio only thing. I think that will have worked really well when all of us were really used to being antisocial and not talking to each, you know, not seeing each other, or I'm really sick and tired of Zoom. But I think that we're, you know, while the pandemic is definitely still happening, I think people are, you know, have been meeting each other. Things have been happening in person. We've done a ton of events now in person. And I think some of that kind of fizzled out because that, you know, need to be in person, you know, really happened. But again, I don't know that I would say something like a Clubhouse is a long term, but I could see the podcasting platform, you know, again, to download content from a conference being a big win.
Totally. I definitely think podcasting is not going away. And I agree to your point too, this idea that of giving choice. Like I've always said, like audience engagement is a choose your own adventure, right? Like you said, there's some people who love audio, but like, let's say you stick a person who's really into video on an audio only conference, they're going to be completely disengaged. They're going to hate it. But like, what if you could offer all these different options? Offer the option for a person to sit in the front of the row of the general session, sit in the back row, and give the option to the person who's just not even going to go to the general session, sit in the hallway and just network all day long. So I love that idea of like, yeah, you always got to give those choices too. Well, speaking of choices, another question coming on in when it comes to will things stick. Chris is asking, do you think that virtual will live on once this is all finally passes and, you know, COVID's gone forever? And do you think virtual is going to still be here?
Yeah, so you know, that's an interesting that's a hard hitting question. That one's tough. I do believe that there are elements that will always exist. I think that it's one thing that we've found is it is really difficult to want to move away from being able to capture your entire audience, because there are still things that have always stopped people from going to conferences. I would love to go to a I see some of y'all out there are at like a conference every other week, and I'm like, man, I wish my wallet could afford to do that. Or hey, for any of you watching, sponsor me. I would love to come to your event, be a speaker, come hang out, take a photo, whatever you need, I'm there for it. But I don't, that's not everybody. Not everybody can afford that. Not every corporation is paying all expenses for their folks to go to these conferences. And I think what you've done is we've kind of created this environment where it's like, man, I hit 7,000 people last year with this information. Sometimes it's a sales, right? I mean, let's be real. Some of these events, there are real sales things that are happening. Why would I ever go back to 1,500 people when I just reached 7,000 last year? And I think those are the moments that are going to continue on forever. I think that a lot of mobile platforms and a lot of the virtual platforms are going to stay. I don't think that it's going to be I think you're going to see a lot less of like implementing virtual speakers, because I think that that's still hard. Back to what we were talking about with the Clubhouse being dead or not. There's a lot of folks that we even when we talk about, you know, being sensitive to certain types of people and ways that they interact. Sometimes visual overload is real. Sometimes audio overload is real. And so I think, you know, some of that is going to come into play as we talk about virtual, is that there are folks that will never be able to go in a room because physically they can't. It terrifies folks to be in that environment because there's so many people, you know, and especially with the new remote culture now. One of the events we're doing will be the first time that some of these folks have met they doubled in size, I believe, since 2020 started. And when that happened, none of their employees had met. There are some of them that are not going to feel comfortable, or let's be honest, let's talk about the hard one. Some of them are not vaccinated in places that require vaccinations to be at events. And so, you know, I think that there's going to continue to be things like that that are going to keep pushing virtual to be a thing.
Totally. I mean, like, talk about like designing the most inclusive event possible. We've been striving for this for years, is how do we create diversity, inclusion in your events, and virtual allows that truly to happen too. So I love that point. Man, I could like continue going on for like a million different questions I have around this. So feel free, if you have any additional questions, keep them coming on in the comments. That's why we do this show live. So keep them coming on in. Isaac will answer them all day long. I'm sure if we keep Isaac up here for 10 hours, he'll keep answering questions for you all.
I was going to say, the challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. So when it comes to, you know, hybrid technologies and how do we make sure that, you know, these streams have high quality experiences, right? People are used to Netflix, used to 4K with a nice bokeh and blurry backgrounds and everything like that. How do we continue to have a high production live stream for our events? So then that way people actually, when they're watching this content, they don't like tune out and feel like they're watching a Zoom call.
Yeah, I think that that's where it comes down to the creative aspects. I think that what a lot of conferences have done for years is here's a speaker, here's his PowerPoint, here's the next speaker, here's his PowerPoint, and so on and so on. And then at some point, you hope you get a bathroom break and dinner, right? And then we're all there for the drinks afterwards. And I think that obviously is fine if you're in person. Again, not my preference when we're planning an event and where we're trying to help create a great environment. But I think what you're going to see more of and what we should see more of is all of us flock to watch the Apple events of the world, right? Because I don't know, all of you all are in the same industry as we are, but I love to figure out what in the world are they doing this time? What video content? Because all of it is super clean. And I think that what we're going to see going forward is a lot of super heavy content, creative graphics, video, a lot of that to kind of help tell a story. I think we've gotten away from the idea of a conference or event really being telling a story and taking people through a journey. And I think that is going to come more and more into play as people's expectations are going to be higher for that type of deal. And honestly, when you talk about high quality broadcast, you know, some of those elements are you're going to have to go bigger in your event in from a look perspective. And so one of the, you know, kind of tips and tricks, and I'm giving you all of our trade secrets, but, you know, some of our tips and tricks that we really love is, like, I always tell people, hey, like, you know, you should start having a jib shot in your room. Oh, but there's only 75 people. Yeah, but like the other 2,500 people online don't get to see the cool production. They're used to seeing a little box about as big as I am of a guy standing at a podium or a girl giving a presentation, and that's kind of it. So how can we really immerse the folks online into the higher production that we bring to all of our events? Because I've seen some of the events that we've all been at this year, and some of them are really, really stellar. And so to be locked into a 16x9 box that, you know, is essentially 8 feet tall of what's happening on the stage is, you know, those are elements that you miss. And so I think that bringing little elements in a little bit at a time helps build that excitement into what's happening. So again, key takeaways from that: content is king for me. I think that the more creative we can be and less of the 4-3 hold slides, you know, the better we'll be.
Woo, you caught me right at the end of cough. All right. So I'm going to start to wrap this one up because I want to get to the special announcement we're going to make. So I'm going to ask you my two final questions that I ask every guest on Event Icons. And I know you're a resource guy. You're a tech guy. You love, like, gadgets and nerdy stuff as much as I do. So what are your favorite, like, resources that you have in the industry or out of the industry? Like, favorite books, blogs, gadgets, anything you want to share for the audience, cool resources that they should check out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just total honesty, I'm a terrible reader. I'm the one that reads all of the emails that you all send me and says, how long is it going to take to read it? And that determines whether or not I'm going to read it or not. So, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I really enjoy, as of late, you know, hopping on to some webinars that have been taking place in very specialized parts of what I do day to day. So, you know, I also look to, as much as we work internally to make sure we're industry experts, I love looking to what other guys are doing and how we can push the envelope. And so I think Will can attest to this. One of the things that most often happens in most of our channels in Slack is some kind of social media post that Isaac has grabbed from somewhere and dropped in. And so that's me. I deep dive social media. I try to find out the big events that happened this year. If anybody was involved in Money 2020, I checked out what you guys had going on. Any of the Grant Cardone events that have been going on, been checking those out. So, I just try to stay on top of the look and feel of what's happening in real time. And then again, you know, we've been very fortunate that we have a ton of people on our team that have gotten to travel and speak and do really cool events. You know, so getting to watch Will on stage, my manager, Ellis, getting to watch him on stage is phenomenal. If you haven't caught him, we'll make sure we get him on Event Icons. Will, he has to be on here, so you got to invite him to come speak. Just that's my MO is I love deep dives of social media. And again, podcasts and all the video webinars I can handle.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, now you get like a mic drop moment for the end of the episode. I'm going to ask you, what is your one single tip that you would have to give event planners today to make their events awesome this year or next year? What's your one tip that you would have for planners and meeting planners to make their events more incredible in the next year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is don't be afraid. I think those are the three words that I've been living by as of late is don't be scared to push the envelope. One of the things, again, I just referenced this event we just did, not something you would think of when you talk about being very tech forward and pushing the envelope, but the discussion became, well, we can do this and we can do that. And before you know it, a lot of those just ideas came to fruition. So I challenge you, don't be afraid to push your clients for more. Push them for better ideas, bigger thoughts, newer locations. Help them guide that journey, because I think we can get in the habit of doing the same thing over and over and over again because we know what our profits are going to be. We know what the experience is going to be like. We know exactly what to expect. But I would hope, as I do every day, that everybody's looking to grow and to continue to be great. So that's the way to do it is really just put it out there and don't be afraid to let your ideas in front of your clients.
What incredible advice, Isaac. So fantastic. Oh my gosh. I'll thank you for being on the show in just a second. But before we thank Isaac for being on the show, make some noise for him in the comments down below. We want to hear from you as well. Isaac, this is just a taste. And I'm doing this one a little shorter because there's going to be a little bit more Isaac, I think, around soon. So we have a big announcement that we want to make that Isaac is actually going to be joining the Event Icons team as one of our co-hosts of Event Icons now moving forward. So you're going to be seeing a lot more Isaac actually taking over my job to ask questions in the future. So I'm sure you'll be hearing from a lot more often. But Isaac, congratulations. Welcome to the Event Icons team. We're so happy to have you here and happy to obviously have you on the Endless team as well. But yeah, we're super stoked for you to join in and ask questions away of the Icons of the Events. Can't even talk today. You need to do this job because I can't anymore.
Oh, all no. Right. No, that's awesome. I appreciate it. And, I think we started to give it away as I was starting to button press. And so if we missed any cues, don't worry. We've got time to get better. And so we'll get there. But thanks so much, Will. Seriously, looking forward to being a part of this. I've enjoyed getting to watch this on LinkedIn and Facebook. And so now getting to kind of play a key role in what we see. Just super excited about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Isaac, thank you also for being a guest. We appreciate you being on the show today, getting to learn a little bit more about you, and we're excited to have you as a host as well. But also, thank you to our audience, plus to you all who joined in, John, Chris, and I think there's a dozen other names. I'm here as a guest right now, so I can't even see everybody's name. So thank you guys all for joining on in. I see there's some, Isaac keeps seeing the counter and ticker go up for the number of people. So thank you all for tuning in. We do this every week at random times. We used to do it every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, but now we do it at whenever we feel we can fit it on in our busy schedule. But if you love this, make sure to subscribe. Event-icons.com is the place to not miss an episode. Get it on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you love your podcast. We're going to be there for you as well. But Isaac, I think it's time that we end this episode. So should we say we see them all next week on Event Icons?
We'll see you next week on Event Icons.
Bye, everybody.
See y'all.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode, share your biggest takeaway, and just tag your social media posts with Hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on Hashtag Event Icons.